And a good day. Welcome. It is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, and it will be just Take Two with yours truly today. Debbie is traveling, and we want to give a shout-out to the wonderful people at Barriga Radio in northern Michigan, and they are going to be having their fall pledge drive starting tomorrow. So Debbie will be there as one of the hosts of that event, and it is that time of the year again. Debbie and I always like to try and encourage you as best we can to be supportive of your Catholic radio station. It's typically in the spring and in the fall that you will hear your station, your network, come on the air and have a pledge drive, a fun drive, a carathon, a share-a-thon. They have different names for it. But that's the time of the year when we ask you, please step forward, be counted. Be among those who help fund Catholic radio, because without it, just think about where our lives would be. And in fact, today we are actually going to be discussing, you and I, hopefully with your participation, I need your help, at 1-800-585-9396. We're going to be discussing a topic that is absolutely crucial. And if we let other media outlets, secular media outlets, and unfortunately, and I mean no disrespect, but sometimes even other Christian traditions have a bit of an unhealthy approach to human sexuality. That's what we're going to be talking about today. But really, what I want your takes on is this. In today's culture especially, but in every age, there typically has been that talk, if you will. You know, it's always kind of jokingly called that talk, you know, between a dad and his son, or a dad and his daughter, or a mom and her daughter. Because kids, you know, we are going to start to have biological and physiological things happen to us as we pass through, youth and into the teen years and adolescence and all of that. And there's going to be curiosity, and kids are going to be starting to have, reactions to the opposite sex, for the most part. Unfortunately, that too is changing nowadays. But so, is there a time as a parent, was there a time as a parent when you have sensitively and age appropriately sat down, had a conversation, or maybe it was over a course of time? I mean, this isn't something that is just, it's not going to be a 5-minute talk. It's not going to be a 1-hour talk. It's really, I believe it gets down to really formation in virtue and truth and prayer and holiness. Is that your approach as a parent? Because again, your kids are going to be, they're going to be hearing about these things from their peers. They're going to be hearing about it in the media. We all know, or maybe you don't know, but you should know if you don't, the recent, really I would call it a scandal, regarding the Teen Vogue magazine that taught young girls, I'm not even going to mention what it was trying to teach them how to do. And that's a publication that many parents probably think, oh, it's Teen Vogue, you know, they're teaching them how to, you know, how to treat their acne and how to, you know, pack better, pack more efficiently to go to school and things like this. But no, instead, some of these things have just really been hijacked by, I think, a radical agenda. And so as parents, I am not a parent. You know that if you listen to the show, and Debbie is, but could not be with me today. So I need your insights, your participation. I want to hear from you how you have approached this or are in the middle of approaching this with your kids right now. Because quite frankly, a lot of parents, unfortunately, learn from their kids about some of these things. And this is a conversation that I want to have with you very respectfully, very sensitively. We're not going to mention any specific, activities or anything like that, but it is an area of human life. Human sexuality is inherently maybe the most important part of human life, in the sense that it helps. It's one of the things that makes us most like God. And what I mean by that is, we have the capacity, the capability within us to be co-creators, okay? We see that the love between the Father and the Son is so great, it's often said that the result of that love is a third person, is the Holy Spirit. Well, similarly in human life, when man and woman come together in marital love, the marital embrace is what it's designed for, then the result of that could be, and often usually is, another person, and you give it a name. So you see how how integrally human sexuality is tied into our very being, our very relationship with God and relationships with one another. But that gets, it's gotten really, really skewed, as you know, in our culture today. There's the whole transgender confusion, and then there's, you know, contraception, and kids in schools have such easy access to the pill and to abortion referrals and things like this, and they're encouraged not just to date, but to be physically involved with their boyfriends or girlfriends. So, as a parent, does this concern you? I really think that it should. I hope it does. I know it does. And I really believe, as we always say on this show, that you have the opportunity to really maybe help change a mind, help to form another parent's mind with what you share. Maybe you've had success, with helping your kids understand the need to remain chaste and pure and virtuous and godly and stay close to the church. So share your experience. 1-800-585-9396. 1-800-585-9396. Believe me, you don't want to just hear me stammer on for 55 minutes. I could probably just ramble about this topic. I have a lot that I could say, but again, I don't have that personal experience of raising kids or having raised kids, but you do, and you are the teacher on this program. You really help to educate and enlighten and inspire. So again, the number is 1-800-585-9396. You can also text your comments, text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a moment, and you will be able to put in your first name and your comment or your question. We are streaming live also on Facebook and EWTN's YouTube channel, so you can catch us there and make your comments, and we'd be happy to see what is on your mind on this topic. So I'm going to get a quick pause here, and then when we come back, we will get to your calls. I'm Jerry Usher, flying solo today, so it's got to be you and me. It's Take Two with Jerry and you today. 1-800-585-9396. Again, we want to explore this very sensitive topic respectfully, but at the same time, it's something that if we as parents aren't helping our kids to be educated in this area, the education, I'm afraid, is not going to be very healthy.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Courtney and Eric Waldrop of Alabama got the shock of their lives. Parents to three boys, the couple decided to try for a fourth. After a miscarriage, Courtney took a low dose of fertility drugs. During a sonogram in June, doctors told them they were expecting not one, but six babies. It took weeks for the parents to come to terms with this new reality, and Eric said, "We turned it over to God and we realized He was going to see us through it." Courtney's due in December, and doctors hope to get the babies to at least 28 weeks. The entire family of 11 needs your prayers because statistics aren't with the Waldrops. Please pray God will keep those babies safe inside the womb until they can survive on the outside.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
On fire for EWTN? Get Amazon Fire TV. All you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Amazon Fire TV player. Never miss any of your favorite EWTN television or radio programs again.
Welcome to EWTN's Catholic Almanac.
It's September 18th, and today the Church honors St. Joseph of Cupertino, priest. Because he possessed the gift of levitation, St. Joseph is the patron saint of pilots and air travelers. He died in 1663. Also today, the Church honors St. Thomas of Villanova, bishop. As a child, he was taught by his father to help the poor. This lesson carried into his adult life, where he worked to feed and clothe those in need in his diocese. He died in 1555.
Hey, this is Doug Keck, EWTN President and Chief Operating Officer.
This is Bishop Ferdinand Cherie, Auxiliary Bishop of New Orleans.
This is Jerry Usher, co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Debbie is actually en route to the airport today, traveling to Traverse City, Michigan. Oh, man, I wasn't able to go this week. I was going to, but we got somebody else to join Debbie there. And Traverse City is an absolutely gorgeous part of Michigan, in northern Michigan, and I'll bet right now it is just stunningly beautiful. So, Debbie, I know you're listening to the show right now. I'm jealous. I hope that you guys have a great time. And you wonderful people who listen to Barriga Radio, be sure that you take Debbie, and she'll be joined by Dave Vacheris there. You take their exhortation to be supportive with your financial gifts this week. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity to keep Barriga Radio on the air. And again, wherever you happen to listen, make sure you support your local Catholic radio station. At 1-800-585-9396 is how you get on the program today. I am Solo. We are talking about the birds and the bees in the 21st century. And I have to say, you know, I would love to hear from any of you who I want to hear what your experience, you know, as a parent, how are you approaching this with your kids? But also, when you were at that age, when you were, say, a teen or an adolescent or even a young adult, did you have good resources? Did you have good mentorship in this area? Maybe you didn't. I really didn't. My parents divorced. My mother had her hands full with five kids. And I mean, we're talking about, you know, 40, 45 years ago, and things were very, very different back then than they are now. I mean, things are changing so fast. And, you know, we got into some trouble in this area, but I mean, there was still this sense of, you know, it's wrong. You know, the conscience was still, I think, really the guide in that area for me and for us when we were growing up. And it was almost kind of like a, you know, you'd sort of gasp, you know, when you'd find out that some of your friends were sexually active or something. But that's changed. And I'd like to know what your own experience was. And perhaps you have a thought on this. I'm wondering if it's also, in a sense, maybe generational. And what I mean by that is, as each generation comes along and goes through not only this particular issue in their lives, but a lot of other things, the mores, the convictions, the moral beliefs can be chipped away at, can be weakened a little bit, and then that generation becomes parents, and they feel like, well, you know, we did these kinds of things when we were kids, so who are we to tell our kids not to? And then so that weakens yet another generation of kids, and then they become parents. So see what I'm saying? I'm wondering if you have a thought on that, you know, generation to generation, this can sort of be chipped away at until we get to a certain point when there are generations of kids that really have almost no chance at being well-formed and really catechized in the area of human sexuality. So there are some things for you to think about. 1-800-585-9396. Susan, hang on. We're going to go to you, but we have somebody named Debbie first up, actually driving to the airport in Phoenix, and it is none other than the Debbie of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hey, Deb.
Hi, Jerry. I couldn't leave you alone on this topic because having raised two boys, I definitely have something to say on it. And I was listening to you, and you did such a phenomenal job introducing the subject for today. But I have to tell you, my heart was just racing. So I said to Marty, I said, pull over. I said, I got a call because I just have something to say about this subject, if that's okay.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, you were talking about when we were growing up, Jerry, and back in the day. And, you know, my parents did a very healthy job of explaining the birds and the bees to us. But we primarily learned a lot from my sibling. You know, we all learned from each other. We taught each other, my brothers and sisters, you know, just how to grow up in a healthy way. And also our friends. And so the peer group that we had back then was really kind of innocent. Nowadays, it's not that way. And it's really, I mean, when my boys were growing up, Jerry, it was frightening because you don't know what they're going to experience out there in the world. You don't know what they're going to read. The internet was, you know, coming into full steam, and it was just a very uneasy feeling about raising kids back then. But now, if you look at it right now, I really feel that parents, especially Catholic Christian parents, really need to be absolutely right there, willing to have very deep talks with the children, because you mentioned the Teen Vogue magazine article, Jerry, and I understand that there's been a lot of Christian bloggers that have come out against that magazine, and then people are trying to shut them down because they felt that it's not... You know, Teen Vogue, I guess, apparently they feel like they can do whatever they want. It is such a vulgar article. I actually read it, and I barely could get through it. And I'm an adult. I can't even imagine that these teens are seeing this. And once they do, it's imprinted in on them and in them forever. So I just had to share that because sometimes I think parents abdicate their role and responsibility of sharing with the children what's healthy about their sexuality. They leave it up to the educators and to the public schools and even Catholic schools, and that may not always be the right avenue.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad you shared what you did, Debbie. And that I mentioned that Teen Vogue article, which I wouldn't even mention the subject matter of it, and I'm glad you didn't either, but it is extremely vulgar. I don't know if you have time to stick around a few minutes or if you need to, you know, be on your way. If you've got anything else you want to share, you let me know.
No, that was it. I'm so happy you did a shout out to Berega Radio listeners, and their pledge drive starts tomorrow, so please pray for us. And I just had to say hi. I didn't want to leave you totally alone.
All right.
Or the listeners. I love listening to you. So you sound great, and I hope you get a lot of participation on this topic.
Okay. Thanks, Deb. Be safe. Say hi to Marty.
Okay. Thanks. I will. Take care. Bye.
Okay. All right, Susan, we're going to get to you. The phone number is 1-800-585-9396. 1-800-585-9396. I want to hear from you if you are aware of any good, healthy resources that help you as a parent. See, being a parent, it's got a lot of challenges. I've not been one, but I mean, you don't have to be a parent to see that there are a lot of challenges. And this area is really one of those. Maybe as a parent, you don't feel equipped. Maybe you made mistakes growing up and you don't really know quite how to, those are in the back of your mind, maybe. You're thinking, well, I want to teach my kids to do the right thing and to remain chaste and pure and God willing until their marriage. Their wedding day, but maybe you don't feel confident. Maybe you don't feel equipped. Maybe you don't have the personal experience, that grounding, that foundation, to be able to lay that foundation in their lives. So we can certainly talk about that. Or again, maybe you have come across some resources that are really, really solid, and we can make a shout out for those. So here's the number, 1-800-585-9396. Okay, Susan, as promised, in St. Louis, listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm calling because I have two grown children that have children of their own, and they're teaching their children that it's okay to be, or I feel like that's how they're teaching them, that it's okay to be gay. They both have friends that are gay or lesbian, and I feel like that they should teach them in a different way, and I don't know how to explain that to them. If I could hang up and just let you tell me.
Okay, yeah, if you could stay with me, I might, have some follow-up. But if you need to go, that's fine. Your choice, Susan. But
okay. I'll just take...
You want to just listen on the air then?
Okay.
Or you could stay with me. It's your choice. You let me know. Okay, but do what you need to do. That's fine. I would, the first thing I would offer, this is... You said these are your children teaching your grandchildren. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Obviously,
my grandchildren have friends that are being taught that it's okay to, like, if you're a male, to wear makeup and to be more feminine. And I just feel that. They're young. They're 12, 14 years old. I feel like that they should be taught that that's not okay.
Well, you're thinking correctly, Susan. Unfortunately, your two grown children with their own children are not respecting what is often referred to as the innocence of children. I mean, these are now they're becoming teenagers, so they're not youth, they're not adolescents, but they're still in a very formative stage of their lives. And I think this is the one problem that I have with so much of what is going on today. you know, it's one thing for a parent to have healthy, proper discussions with their kids about these things, but the culture is introducing so many different variants and options and really deviant types of things. I saw a news story. I didn't watch it. I was passing by a television recently that had the little headline down at the bottom that said, "How early is too soon to teach kids about this transgender issue?" And the video showed what looked to be, I think, about a kindergarten age class. And I was just flabbergasted. And so there is just so much confusion out there, Susan. And I don't know if the two kids of yours that you're talking about have a foundation in the faith, if they are practicing their faith or not. I mean, it sounds like maybe perhaps they're not too deeply rooted in that right now, or else they wouldn't be allowing this on their kids. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I have one that attends Mass every Sunday. Their kids go to parochial school, Catholic school. And my other son, they attend Mass a few times a year. So, but they, I don't know. It's quite confusing to me to... And I understand that my daughter, she's in her job kind of requires her to be more open to people's different...
Diversity and tolerance and, yeah, all of that stuff, which
right.
is... Which is really just a mechanism for shutting down anybody who disagrees, and actually anybody who holds on to what is, you know, true and godly and biblical and historical in so many cases. But be that as it may, Susan, your daughter may be in a work environment where it's not acceptable for her to voice contrarian opinions to the dominant culture, but that does not need to make its way into the family. I mean, what happens in her household under her roof is she determines that, not her workplace, and not the culture at large, not the media, not these ideological and philosophical movements and so forth. So I don't know if there's any way that you could impress that upon her, or maybe just get her to see. Do you think there's a way you can get her to see that this is she's got to separate those two? If she's taking some pressure in the workplace and saying, well, there's equally nothing I can do about it at home, then she's really looking at it wrong. What do you think?
I agree. I feel like that I keep trying to explain to her, you love the sinner but not the sin, and you shouldn't teach that it's okay to that it's okay with your children, that you have to set boundaries for
right.
them to,
Right, exactly. And the thing is, again, in the formative years for young people, and that's why I believe that there's so much confusion among many of our young people today in the area of sexuality, is because they're having foisted upon them information and experimentation and resources and pressure on all sides to do things that really the human person, the human mind, the human heart are not created to do and are not really wired to do, just in a natural sense. Susan, I'm sure you agree with this. And so when kids are being told, for example, that, at very young ages, preteen years even in some cases, that, you may be a boy, but maybe you're supposed to be a girl, or you're a girl, maybe you're supposed to be a boy. I mean, I cannot imagine the confusion, the mental fog that must then create in the mind of a young person, and naturally they are going to go through maybe the rest of their lives with that confusion, with problems, maybe mental health issues. And I posted on Twitter here not too long ago. I said, if someone isn't happy being who God made them to be, how in the world are they going to be happy being somebody God didn't make them to be? And so this is the challenge, Susan. I would say for you, since they are not your kid but your grandkids that you are worried about, I'd say prayer. You've got to just steep yourself in prayer and cover your kids and grandkids in prayer and just say, Heavenly Father, you have a plan for them, And there are some issues arising here that could maybe short-circuit that or confuse them or lead them, you know, derail them, lead them off track or what have you. And just really cover them, surround them in prayer, Susan. That is the most important thing, because you don't have direct access to them. Maybe you have, you know, the grandkids come and visit you at times, and you can, you know, maybe say things or show them things, resources, and try and steer them in a healthier direction. But I'm going to let you go on that, Susan, because we've got to get to a break here, and then another call next. Sue, we've got some other calls that we're going to get to, Sue in Fort Wayne. But Susan in St. Louis, be assured of our prayers. You're thinking and acting in the right way, and we thank you for calling Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Today it's Take Two with Jerry, and we've got an open phone line for you to join us talking about the birds and the bees in the 21st century. As a parent, how are you approaching this with your kids? We want to do it respectfully, sensitively, at an age-appropriate time. You are the educators of your kids, not the world around them. Remember that.
And welcome to EWTN's Bookmark Brief. I'm Doug Keck. I just finished talking with Patty Gallagher Mansfield about her Golden Jubilee edition of her book, As by a New Pentecost, Dramatic Beginning of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. So, Patty, you want to give us a little synopsis of what this Golden Jubilee edition is about?
Yes. Well, 2017 marks 50 years since the Duquesne Weekend, which was the event that sparked the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. But the book is more than just the Duquesne Weekend, because our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has said to us in the Renewal, share with the whole church the grace of baptism in the Spirit.
Well, thank you so much. We're talking here again with Patty Gallagher Mansfield. This is the Golden Jubilee edition of As by New Pentecost, the Dramatic Beginning of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, available through the EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. And look for the interview coming soon to EWTN. This has been an EWTN Bookmark Brief. Thanks for joining us.
When you deal with God, get out of the way.
The incomparable Mother Angelica. She broke the mold of Catholic teaching with her one-of-a-kind perspective. From her spunky spiritual growth talks to her eye-opening scripture study, a nun like none other.
I intend to scare hell out of you.
She was the one, the only, the non-forgettable Mother Angelica. Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and Television.
You like listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, but have you thought about bringing them to your next event? No matter what type of event you're hosting, parish mission, conference, or retreat, trust Jerry and Debbie to make it come alive. Begin the process today of taking your presentation to the next level of success. For information on booking Jerry and Debbie, visit take2show.com, click on the J&D logo.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
So good to have you with us. Our Monday episode of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Debbie will be back with me tomorrow from Traverse City, Michigan. So I'm holding down the fort here by myself, actually with your participation today. And I do look forward to hearing from you. The number is 1-800-585-9396. 1-800-585-9396. And I'm going to put a shout out to some men, some dads to join me here on the program today. Love hearing from all of our callers. We get mostly female callers, which is awesome. But we know you guys are out there listening. And so I'd love to get a dad's perspective on this, because moms and dads together, if you are together in the same household, you really need to be on the same page and equally be looking for the right time to help your kids. I don't think it's so much imparting information to them or giving them resources. It could be some of that. Again, I have not raised children. But I want to hear if from either a mom or a dad, is it more just kind of walking with your son or your daughter as nature unfolds in their life, and they have these inclinations and their bodily hormones or whatever start to kick in at whatever age, and then they find themselves attracted, hopefully God willing, to the opposite sex, and are tempted in certain ways. How do you kind of lock arms with your kids And really, you know, these are actually good things. They're healthy things. They're natural things. But how do we harness them? How do we corral them? How do we really channel them in a positive direction? At the same time, laying over the top of that, the virtues, the commandments, scripture, a life of prayer, receiving the sacraments. So, moms or especially dads, I want to hear what you think about this. 1-800-585-9396. Okay, Sue in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on another one of our favorite affiliates, Redeemer Radio. Hi, Sue. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi. I myself am a mother of six. My oldest is 30. My youngest is 13. And as far as you had asked about teaching their sexuality and the experience, initially, of course, I had books and videos and tapes that we would try to share time with, never getting through them all with any of the older kids. But like Debbie had said, with the older kids teaching the younger kids, by the time I got to my youngest one, he asked about a book and he read only parts of it and he put it down. And I always went by the perspective of, you know, when you've tell them as little as possible when they're asking, but you'll know when you've met their limit when they stop you and don't want to go on anymore. And it wasn't until recently that he wanted to have more information. But I would say, in general, my topic, being a nurse and doing some inner-city ER work, I had seen more than enough to know that they needed support from home. But I worked from the aspect, there is the anatomy and physiology part of, quote, sexuality, but then there is the emotional sexual part. And the emotional sexual part we never taught, or I should say we never touched on, other than with marriage and a husband and wife and things like that. You know, but I always taught the anatomy and physiology whenever they asked or whenever they needed more or whenever their school was going to touch on that particular topic, we would extend into it more, you know. And right. I know a previous caller who talked about the homosexual thing, you know. Being a nurse, I've probably seen a lot more. My one recovery experience taught me I needed to teach them that there is a possibility of homosexuality, but it's the actual act of sexual arousal and satisfaction that is morally wrong. The homosexual is not wrong. They just have a heavier cross in that department to carry. I don't want to brag on myself, but my daughters who have all married all had times when they discussed what form of natural family planning or Creighton method or, you know, which way that they wanted to go with that. Because I hope that was a sign to me that my husband and I did a good job. And
sounds
you
like
talked
it.
About dad. My husband always kind of, because I was a nurse and had more experience in that type of exposure, he passed a lot of that responsibility off to me. Oh, and we left our sons decide who they needed to talk to, whether it was myself or my husband, and all of those aspects. It's totally different for the youngest than it was the oldest because he picks up on enough stuff, you know, from our home. You know, and having his sisters get married and have children, he had less to have to know as far as anatomy, physiology, because he could physically see it happening on their bodies, you know, but he just needed the verification that of the husband and wife after marriage activity and that it was wrong and what he's hearing in school is or isn't wrong and things like that.
Well, Sue, I have to say, first off, it sounds like you and your husband, yes, you may go ahead and brag on yourself a little bit, because, you know, again, I've never been a parent, but I can imagine of all the things that you want for your kids and that you are given the responsibility by God to do, teaching them, or actually, as I was saying before, you know, kind of helping this area of human sexuality unfold in their lives in a healthy way, is so vital. It is so vital. And, you know, you have made so many good points, and I'm thrilled to hear that your daughters were looking at natural family planning and the Creighton, you know, these different methods of you know, doing, approaching, you know, having a family in a godly way and so forth. And I'm glad what you said, too, about, you know, someone with a same-sex attraction. The church is very, very clear that that person has every access to participation in the church and the sacraments. And the church would, you know, while not maybe understanding, you know, what the factors are that played into someone having a same-sex attraction, the church would not say, well, you've got to change and you're excluded and you can't, you know, I mean, those with a same-sex attraction are invited to be fully a part of the church's life and ministry and active participants. But like you said, we need to also maintain, an understanding of, you know, God's original plan for human sexuality, and we see it. I think it's pretty clear in the fact that only man and a woman can procreate and have children. Of course, we've introduced a lot of different artificial means of doing that, and this is some of the other stuff that kids are being taught as well today. So I don't know. And you mentioned, Sue, how each one of the kids was a little bit different, and how, as you know, the younger ones, talk just a little bit more about that, how the family, you sort of just learn by sort of almost by osmosis. You know, the youngest ones didn't have to necessarily be instructed or have things said to them, but in a certain way, they just kind of see how things go in a family. And how important is that?
It's real important, but it's also just as important to keep the older kids' tongues a little bit controlled on some topics when, you know your younger children aren't ready to hear what's going on in high school and things like that. I'm a little more restrictive because I don't necessarily allow my eighth graders to interact in the high school scene, because there is so much more education in the high school scene, just in the words they use to talk about each other.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's such a big difference between an eighth grader who thinks he's the oldest and king of the high school, or I should say elementary school, compared to getting involved in high school and where the high school scene is. And no matter how my kids all have went to Catholic institutions, but it doesn't matter how concrete the facility is, there, it's still there. It's still out there.
Right.
And a lot of that is based on my inner city work in an ER at one time, in recovery also. You know, you get 16-year-olds coming in unable to get pregnant, and their STDs are skyrocketed, but their boyfriends has only been with them, and they've got all this abdominal pain and refuse to accept, and, you know, you have to send them to the Board of Health. They weren't going to listen to the nurse because they're sure that doesn't mean anything about his relationship with others. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to teach what needs to be taught, but don't take it any further than the child is ready to accept.
Right.
Yeah, that's the best I can expand on.
Good.
The difference of kids.
That's awesome stuff, Sue. Really, really great stuff. And I sincerely appreciate you joining us on the program today and the work that you're doing as an ER nurse in the inner city, especially, and you and your husband raising six of God's precious little images. And it sounds like they're going to, God willing, turn out to be, pretty well adjusted and healthy. And you two should be, you two should take a bow for that, because, you know, it's probably tough enough for one child, but you've done it for six. So, and the youngest one you said is 13, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. 13.
Good. God bless you, Sue. Thank you so much for that, and thanks for being a part of the program today. You've really added a lot to me, and I know to all of our other listeners.
Thank you, and God bless everyone, and let's just pray that everyone's life, unborn or as they approach the end stage of life, is honored and respected.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sue. Sue in Fort Wayne, listening to Redeemer Radio. All right, I still want to hear from a dad, a guy, a dad, a grandparent. What was your experience? How were you approaching this? Do you feel? I mean, I wonder. You know, a lot of men today, I think, feel maybe inadequate in the area of just walking again side by side and nurturing this precious and very vulnerable and innocent gift of human sexuality that, again, is wired into every single person who is ever born. I think it should not be violated at a young age with too much information. And only you as a parent should be the one to determine if and when and how much you talk to your kids about this and answer their questions. And again, sort of accompany them on this journey as this area of their life becomes more conscious to them. And so please join me, 1-800-585-9396, 1-800-585-9396. And Sue mentioned some of the STDs and some of the problems that we're seeing among young kids today, health issues, emotional things. I have some statistics and information that I just came across real quickly. I just did a quick internet search. I mean, it's all over the internet right now. And I did a quick search for resources, too. And I think you might or might not be surprised at what I found. Stay with me.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This strange beatitude reminds us that Jesus is challenging us with his ways to heaven on a new exodus. We're leaving behind the Egypt of this world to find the eternal paradise of heaven. When we tend to think of happiness, we tend to think of it in a self-centered way, a possession of a temporary good or passing fancy. But Jesus is calling us into eternal happiness. And actually, morality is a search for happiness, says Dominican priest Servais Pinkers. We're looking to be happy, and a lot of times we end up in dead-end roads that don't lead us to where we want to go. How can we be blessed when we mourn? In sorrow and difficulty, hardship and cross, we are called closer to Jesus. It's God's fingerprint in our heart reminding us that we're made for eternal happiness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Check out EWTN's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
In 1917, Our Lady appeared to three shepherds in Fatima, Portugal. Now, a century later, the faithful of our nation's capital will honor Our Lady of Fatima with the dedication of a place of prayer and veneration. EWTN takes you to the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. for Holy Mass and dedication of Our Lady of Fatima statue, Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern, here on EWTN Television.
Most Holy Trinity, we adore you profoundly. We thank you for raising up men and women who have come to the aid of those who have suffered the recent disaster in this fallen world. Strengthen and guide them, O Lord. Send them, we pray, holy angels to assist their work, to bring comfort and hope to those who are mourning, and to build up lasting bonds of friendship and charity in the hearts of all. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Be touched by the sacredness of the Most Blessed Sacrament, the resting place of Mother Angelica, plus tour the EWTN campus. Start your Catholic pilgrimage today with EWTN. Call 205-271-2966.
I would always hear from different people at non-Catholic churches that Catholics were going to hell or that they really didn't know who the Lord was. The Catholic Church is not all what people say it is. I mean, it's completely different. There's so many stereotypes. It's very possible to know the Lord, and it's very possible to have a relationship with God. in the Catholic Church. I believe I was born into the Catholic Church, and that's where I belong.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Talking the birds and the bees in the 21st century. On Take Two with Jerry and Debbie today, I'm Jerry Usher. Debbie will be back with me tomorrow. And Tim, I'm going to get to you in a second, but I mentioned I was just, before the show, I did some research, and it's interesting. I actually did a search for birds and the bees in the 21st century, and so many of the resources that came up are things that I would never, ever, ever want young children to be exposed to. But I did find there's this one website, just has some real brief statistics. It says approximately half of the 20 million new cases of sexually transmitted infections in the U.S. each year occur in teens and young adults ages 15 to 24. And it says you'll, if you dig a little deeper, you'll see that about a fourth of adolescent females are infected with at least one of the more common STIs or STDs. These are just physical, biological reasons why our young people have to be formed properly in these areas, because they could be facing a lifetime of some kind of hopefully treatable but still very I think painful and physically they're going to be marred in some way. And that doesn't even get into the emotional scars that can be carried through life, by following, the culture's advice. Hey, it's really cool over in this area here, and this is the way you should live, and oh, don't listen to your parents, don't listen to the church. And then how many people later in life realize they were duped? This is not a condemnation or a criticism. There's always the loving mercy and arms of the church and healing. There is healing from any of this. But my goodness, that's a road that we just really should want to spare anyone having to go down, especially our children as they grow up. So, Tim, we're going to go to you in West Palm Beach, Florida next, listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Tim, welcome to the program. And before we start, I hope that you are doing okay and that you didn't get too impacted by Irma or anything.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yes, Irma was an event about a week of displacement, but West Palm Beach seems to be spared for the most part.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah.
So what would you like to share on this, Tim?
Well, I have three daughters and a son, and, having grown up and now seeing my children grow up in a generation of technology, and my wife and I are just concerned about, the appropriate times to share certain information, and as a rule of thumb, we've generally adopted just when a child asks about something is the appropriate time to discuss that something. And we've chosen also to use the anatomical medical terms to discuss our bodies. So, one, they know there's nothing wrong with having breasts or vaginas or penises or buttholes or anything else. But then also to know, when they start using slang or other terms, we'll know that other children are starting to talk about those things, and they're becoming curious and wanting to learn more about them. And we have children; our oldest is 8, and our youngest is 18 months. So this is going to be an area of our life for a long time. But
mm-hmm.
This concept of sex and how it relates to humans. Obviously we're relational beings, and it just seems today the culture lies to us about that sex is the way that you relate. And, even that sex is a need that men have, and, you're silly for not honoring a need of someone that you love. And just how many lies there are out there about, this beautiful thing that we have. We focus on, not just isolating sex, but just talking about, the beauties of marriage and how mommy and daddy work through problems and how we relate and, how things are not, relationship is not a natural state. It's a constant, process and, something that mommy and daddy work at. But boy, is it so much better having someone and a teammate. We haven't necessarily had the concept of sex come up in our home, but we're very vigilant and very aware that it is soon approaching.
Right. Yeah.
you know, just both my wife and I didn't necessarily have the best introduction to the topic. So we just want to make sure our children are, you know, informed about what goes on, but then also that they have the facts so, you know, they can continue to make good decisions. And I think that goes for everything, not just sex. But.
Sure, absolutely. And Tim, yeah, I'm glad. Thank you for sharing all that you did, and you know, for very candidly saying that you and your wife may not have received the kind of formation that would have best benefited you. But what I love is that you have recognized that, and you also know what is healthy and right and proper for your children, and that's what you want to give them. And I was making the point earlier in the show. I don't know if you listened, but a lot of parents, I think, are ill-equipped to help their kids in this area simply because they made all kinds of these egregious mistakes and went down all kinds of, you know, unhealthy roads and paths and so forth. And then all of a sudden that can kind of carry over and you can say, well, you know, gosh, I was no saint when I was growing up. So, gee, I should just expect my kids to, you know, be promiscuous or to not really get it or get a good foundation in this area. But there are a lot of parents like you, and I applaud you, Tim, you and your wife, for really having the best interest, the eternal interests of your kids, your daughters in mind. So I really, that's great, Tim.
Yeah, it's hard, but we focus on the concept that our success in life will be when we enjoy our grandchildren being raised in stable Christian homes. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge goal and a huge commitment, but, you know, that's the legacy we'd like to leave, and we know that that involves not only things like sex, but marriage, education, financial awareness, everything. But sex seems to be the big, huge problem. It can definitely cause more problems than, good in many cases, especially with young children and the statistics of teen pregnancy, et cetera. So we're just focused on making sure that our daughters understand that their bodies are, you know, are their temple, and that they have the ability to control everything that happens to them. And that, you know, from things like, situations of rape and victim shaming and blaming, and, you know, the concept of, you know, things that happen in other countries where, you know, young women don't have a say on when they get married and to whom.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, our daughters are already aware of these things just to have discussion. But what so many parents don't understand, I think, is that if they take that laissez-faire attitude, like I was no saint, I made all these mistakes, very similar to me, the world is a million times faster than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. So what you might have been exposed to at 15 or 16, your children will now be exposed to at 11 or 12, possibly younger.
Yeah, I was going to say, if not younger, yeah.
And if you can think about, you know, how difficult was it for me to process the deep emotional connections at 16 involved with being intimate, what is an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, how are they going to process the amount of information that's coming at them if they get exposed to pornography or if they get exposed to, you know, just even inappropriate television shows?
Yeah, Tim, we're running short on time here. I apologize for jumping in, but your last point, I think, is really a great way, and Gail and Rosie and the others, I'm sorry we're not going to get to you, but yeah, I mean, kids at a young age, they're learning, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic. You know, they don't need these heavy emotional, psychological, and really big picture things thrown upon them that are going to naturally unfold in their lives anyway, with God willing, the help of their parents. Tim, all of you, thank you for your calls. Debbie, travel safely today to Baraga Radio. Tomorrow, kind of a little bit of a similar theme. Whose fingerprints are on your life? Who has influenced you to be the person you are today? And I like to say their fingerprints are on everything you do. That's tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry. Have a beautiful and blessed day.